message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. May God's gracious gift of peace be your experience throughout this day. With today's study of Daniel chapter 10, we begin to look at the last of the four visions granted Daniel, the prophet greatly beloved of the Lord. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 really form one unit, but we are going to follow the biblical breakdown and consider thoughts in each chapter singly. Daniel's final vision was given to him in 536 BC, when he was approximately 85 years old. He had faithfully served Yahweh, his God, through the reigns of several pagan rulers, and had witnessed the changeover from the Babylonians to the Medes and Persians. He had also witnessed the answer to his prayer, requesting God to move on the heart of the king and allow the Jews to return to Palestine. He witnessed a remnant return under the leadership of Zerubbabel. Daniel himself stayed put, possibly because of his age, but more probably because he knew he was in the place of God's appointment, and his work and influence in Babylon was not yet complete. He was at peace to await God's timing for his move. Chapter 10 is a prologue to the prophecies of chapters 11 and 12, and it contains vital information which allows us to see behind the scenes of the great conflicts affecting the nation of Israel. So awesome and unbelievable were these revealed truths that Daniel affirms their truthfulness. In verses 5 and 6, Daniel describes for us the messenger who gave the vision to him. The vision received was of an awesome and beautiful being, who proceeded to share by word of mouth immediate and future events that would affect the Jewish people. Standing beside the Tigris River, Daniel sees a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like as lamps of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. The appearance of this being is awesome, and each part of the description emphasizes the being's holiness, purity, beauty, power, and penetrating perception and authority. This being had to be either a divine person or an angel. Now what is interesting is the close comparison there is between Daniel's vision and the vision of the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, and recorded in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Without question, the person whom John saw was the risen, ascended Lord of glory, Yeshua HaMashiach. This allows us to see Daniel's awesome being as the same Lord of glory. They are one and the same person. With this vision, Daniel is not given a vision of ferocious beasts devouring one another, but rather he is visited by the pre-incarnate Lord of glory, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Daniel's friends did not see the vision, but they sensed that something unusual was transpiring. Daniel alone saw the Messiah, and it overwhelmed him. his companions fled, leaving him alone with the Lord. So overcome was Daniel by the presence of Messiah that he fell flat on his face before him. This too was the experience of John in Revelation 1, as it was also the experience of Saul of Tarsus when he met the risen, exalted Messiah on the outskirts of the city of Damascus. That which was the experience of Daniel, John, and Paul, and a number of others, will one day be the experience of all men. In his letter to the Philippian Christian Church, Paul writes, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, Yeshua, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Overcome with emotion, and lying prostrate on the ground with physical weakness, Daniel receives a touch from Messiah that strengthens him enough to set him on, to enable him to rise to his hands and knees. A touch, though, was not enough, for Messiah then speaks, assuring him of God's special affection for him. O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Then in verse 12, Messiah says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Touching Daniel again, Messiah enables him to stand on his feet and hear the rest of the revelation as it pertained to Israel in the latter days. A further experience of weakness necessitated the need for a further ministry of comfort by Messiah. "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." Spiritual battles require not only great physical strength, but also great spiritual strength. And so we read of Messiah saying again to his servant, "O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong." "And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." The satanic opposition to Daniel's reception of God's word is but a sampling of Satan's attack on Jewish people down through the years. This is the answer to the persecution of the Jews by Antiochus Epiphanes, the slaughter of the Jews by the Crusaders, who wrongly believed that they were doing away with Christ killers. Here also is the answer behind the pogroms of Poland, the Holocaust of Nazi Germany, and the present-day conflict with the Arab world. Daniel chapter 10 draws the curtain back and allows us to see that there is more going on behind the scenes than what is seen by the naked eye or read in the newspapers. Satan is at work, seeking to thwart God's plan and destroy his chosen people. Just as Messiah strengthened and encouraged Daniel, so he stands ready to strengthen and encourage his people today. He, who is the shepherd of Israel, is today the shepherd of his church. For those whose personal faith rests in Messiah as Savior and Lord, the promise of the Lord in 1 John chapter 4 is very precious. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." He who indwells the believer is the Spirit of God. He who is in the world is Satan. My dear radio listener, the spiritual battle between the forces of evil and the forces of God is increasing in intensity. Scripture tells us that Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Only a faith resting in the Lord of glory will stand. The empty platitudes and dogmas of religion, whether they are Jewish or Gentile, will not suffice to strengthen and comfort the troubled soul. Yeshua alone can save and strengthen. In him alone is hope. Shalom. May the God of peace meet you today where you need it most, in the depths of your soul.